This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, very happy to be with you today. I certainly am. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen and hallelujah. And it's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day in the Lord, isn't it? This is the feast day of the exaltation of the cross. We'll be talking about the cross through our program today. I'm going to share with you a beautiful first-class relic. Well, it's not a first-class relic. It's a relic of the true cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know what category of relic that is, actually. Certainly, it would be, a relic, because a portion of this cross held the body of our Lord Jesus Christ as he hung on Calvary's Hill. And I would suppose that if there's a spot of blood on it, it would make it a first-class relic. That I don't know about the relic that I have. I just do know that it is a relic of the true cross, and I'll share that with you. Those of you that are out there on EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page will be able to see it. And we'll talk about, the way in which God gives us this great grace of salvation. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about our own salvation stories. I don't know. We're going to see what the Holy Spirit has in mind for us today. You can contact us, as I mentioned, one way, through EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. You can use the chat feature there. Use that chat feature to put in your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. Jeff Burson, who is our social media manager, as well as our producer, will retrieve it. He'll put it up on the board. We'll be able to address it. Additionally, we have Matthew Gubensky, who is our call screener, waiting to hear from you. He's waiting with bated breath. He just can't wait to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Now, that being said, I have to say that even though Matthew is really eager to hear from you, I am like over the moon eager to hear from you. So please do give us a call. If you're a first-time caller and or a first-time submitter, we certainly do want to know about that, and we will ring our happy welcome bell for you to make you feel comfortable on your first call-in of the show. It's your debut, and we want to celebrate, and here it is. We will ring this happy little bell to welcome you to our broadcast today. Before we get into the heart of the matter, or as they would say, if Father Wade was around, he'd say, the crux of the matter. Before we get into that, let me just share with you about some of the things happening at Women of Grace. We're very excited. 4 days from now, something really big is going to go on. And what is that? Well, it's going to be our beginning, if you will, of our our book study on a wonderful book written by Father Thomas Dubé called Fire Within. It is a deep entry, I would say, into the spirituality of Saint Teresa of Avila and Saint John of the Cross. And I know it's going to really ignite your own desire for a deeper prayer life, a deeper relationship with the Lord that comes by way of prayer. So we want to encourage you to join us for that. Obviously, because it's an online event, we can accommodate, hundreds of you, and we certainly would like to fill it up with hundreds of you. It's always a great time in these book studies. There's really a community of people that return for just about every single book study. But we're always adding to that number, and we always invite newcomers to be with us for these book studies, because we know that each one of them carries with it a grace that God wants for you to receive. God never prompts us to do something for which there is not a grace. And so if he's prompting you to join us for this book study, we invite you to do so. It is going to begin on September the 18th. That's pretty soon, 4 days from now. And it's going to run through December the 11th. We're going to dip into this book slowly, in the sense that we don't want to rush through it. It's just filled with such gems, such treasures of the spiritual life. We want you to be able to mine every single one of those. So it's going to begin on the 18th. That's a Monday evening. It's going to be every Monday going until December the 11th. It will go from 7 until 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Sue Brinkman will lead it. As you know, Sue is a third-order discalced Carmelite, and as a result of that, she's very familiar with the spirituality of St. Teresa of Avila and St. John of the Cross, and also Thérèse of Lisieux and the Carmelite saints. There are so many of them. All of the spiritualities of those who are Carmelites come from the teaching of these two giants, Teresa of Avila and John of the Cross. And you're going to get a real opportunity to enter into a deeper understanding and appreciation of that spirituality. And in some way, I hope, make it your own. The Carmelite spirituality is very much part of our Women of Grace apostolate. Women of Grace apostolate is, in a sense, imbued with it in a number of different ways. We embrace others, other spiritualities as well. But this concept of prayer, the importance of prayer, this time of holy conversation with God is very, very important, because that's where transformation happens. You know, that's where we really enter into this process of purification and sanctification. It's where, you know, we begin to experience through the dynamic of the Holy Spirit this eye-opening reality of who God is and His love for us. And, you know, so you can't have much of a spirituality in your prayer time without coming into that area of contemplation, this deepening realization of the God life in me. You know, what a beautiful thing really to sit and think about, right? That if you're in the state of grace, the God life is active in you. God's own life is active in you. And prayer, you know, deep contemplative prayer is what? Coming into a recognition of that, opening our heart and our mind to that reality, and allowing the Lord to take us into that reality, allowing Him to take us into that mystery of the divine life within. Now, we are not the divine life, but we are indwelt by the divine life to the extent that we remain in a state of grace. And the holier we become, the more we cooperate with that reality, the more that we seek to practice virtue, to rid ourselves of vice, the more that we open ourselves up to the work of the Holy Spirit that brings to us the grace of the virtue, gives us the capacity to begin to experience and taste the reality of the Lord indwelling us. Well, to that extent do we make great progress in the spiritual life. So, you know, we want for you to come to a deeper understanding of what that is, how it works, what these two giants in the spiritual life have to say to us about it. Teresa of Avila and John of the Cross. Again, it's the book study, Fire Within, written by Father Thomas Jubé of happy memory. Sue Brinkman is going to be our leader. I think you're going to love it, and we're inviting you to sign up for it. More to come on the other side of the break. We're going to be talking about the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Give us a call. What is your cross experience? Woo! I'll bet you've got one. We want to know about it right here. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we love having that holy conversation with you. Also inviting you to get out there to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Use the chat feature to get your question or comment up on the board. We're going to be eager to take it. And I'll be back with a relic of the True Cross following our break. Stay with us.
Jeanette is taking your phone calls, 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. We are so happy that you are with us today on this feast of the exaltation of the cross. We exalt the cross. Why? Because the cross bought us our salvation through the beautiful, beautiful gift of the salvific action of our Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's Hill. So obviously, the cross is very important to us. And I'm always so pleased that we as Catholics keep our Lord on the cross because it's a sign of his love. Anytime we feel low, we look at that crucifix, as I'm looking at one right now, and I see how much our Savior loves me. And he loves each one of you just like that. Inviting you to give us a call here, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That is the way that you can join us here live on Women of Grace Live. Also available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. We invite you to use the chat feature there. Put in your question or comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. We'll be happy to receive it. On this Feast of the Exaltation of the Cross, we want to hear about your cross story. How is it that the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, the salvific action of our Lord Jesus Christ, entered into your life in a profound and beautiful way? We're going to be with Marilyn in New Jersey in just a moment, but I promised you that when we came back from the break, I would share with you my relic of the true cross, and I'm holding it up. I'm hoping that I'm here in the camera and you can see it clearly. Yeah, I think you can. And, you know, this is a very, very beautiful, beautiful gift that was given to me by a holy Catholic priest. He obtained it for me in Rome, and I was so happy to receive it. And it's interesting because we're doing this book study, as I mentioned to you, on September the 18th. And now that I think of it, when I met him, and he told me he was returning to Rome, he said, "Is there anything that I can do for you, Johnette?" And I remembered a passage from Scripture where St. Paul says, "Make use of every opportunity." And I said to him, "Yes, Father, yes, there is something that you can do for me." I said, "I would love to have a relic of the true cross, a first-class relic of St. Teresa of Avila, and a first-class relic of St. John of the Cross." And I have to tell you, I shocked this dear man of God. His eyes flew wide open, and he looked at me, and he said, "Oh, you don't have any idea what you're asking." And I said, "Well," and I repeated for him that same passage from Scripture that St. Paul said. I said, "Well, Father, St. Paul says, make use of every opportunity." And I said, "So I'm making use of this opportunity." And he just looked at me and he just kind of shook his head, right? And I thought, "Oh, well," there you have it. Well, I want to tell you, about 3 months later, I received a long cylindrical tube in my mailbox, and I saw it was from Rome, Italy, and I went inside, and I opened it up, and there were the relics that I asked for along with the paperwork. So I do know that the relic that I am basically venerating today and holding up for you at this moment is a relic of the true cross, and it resides in a reliquary that Jack and I have in our prayer room, and it's a beautiful, beautiful reliquary, and, you know, I'm so gracious, so happy to have received both the reliquary itself, the cabinet, from Jack, but also this beautiful reliquary that I can keep this relic in, and what a blessing it is for all of us. So I sign myself today with this relic, and I invite you to do the same. So there you have it. May God be praised. This relic will be with us throughout our broadcast today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord God. Well, I do want to get to Marilyn. She is in New Jersey, and she is listening to us via domestic church media today. Good morning, Marilyn. How are you?
Good morning, Donna. Thanks for taking my call. I'm having a little rough time. I've lost two daughters in the last 2 years. And they both died on the same day. They died May 4th. And they were never sick. The first one was my youngest daughter, Tara. She was only 52. Mm. And she died of COVID. She was dead in 1 month and left two, you know, adult children who missed her terribly. And then the other sister held her dying hand the night they took her off the ventilator. And I had to leave because I said to my son-in-law, "God says when your time is up, not the doctors." And they said there was no hope for her. And the other sister that just died recently, 4 months ago, on the same day, May 4th, she held her dying hand as she was gasping for air. And she was sick for a whole entire year, last from May to May of this past year. and in the hospitals constantly suffered ungodly. They were treating her for one thing in all the local hospitals in New Jersey, and when she got to Philadelphia on Christmas Day of days, they said that she needed a double lung transplant. And she tried everything. She lost like over 50 pounds with what she was going through. She was bedridden. It was just a horrific time for her.
Oh, my dear.
And the bottom line is, on May 3rd, her heart stopped. And her daughter said, you know, I said, just let her go to the doctors in Pennsylvania. And they said, her daughter said, no, my mom would want to live. So they revived her, to only die on the day the other sister died, the next day.
Oh, my heavens.
And I go to daily mass, and I've been going since my mother died over 40 years ago as often as I possibly can, which is, I would say, at least 85% of the time. And I just, you know, don't understand it, because these two girls worked for over 20 years. They both worked for the bus company in Wall Township, New Jersey. And I just don't understand it.
Oh, honey. You know, I have to say that to lose a child is a terrible grief. There's no grief like it. And to lose two children, no matter their age, it doesn't matter. The pain in the heart, the sword in the heart is so great. It just cuts right through us. And I don't know why it is that God entrusts those kinds of crosses to us. You know, I lost a son, so I can relate to that kind of a grief. But I do know that through all of these crosses that he entrusts to us, great grace comes. It certainly doesn't mean that we don't miss our children, and it certainly doesn't mean that we stop the grieving process at any point in time. The grieving process continues, and it's been 19 years for me, and I'm sure it's going to continue until I draw my last breath. But the fact of the matter is that this God works all things to the good. And what I have tried to do throughout the course of all of these years is to mine that treasury of grace that is there in this suffering and in this loss, trusting all the while that God, who created us, knows precisely the time when he will bring us back to him. And that time is perfect, and it's preset. And God uses the circumstances and situations of life to affect his will. And so the suffering that your daughters went through, one with COVID, one with this double lung disease, is not for naught. There is merit in this, both for them, because as they suffered and united that suffering to the cross of Christ, it was raining down grace. It was pulling down grace from heaven for them, from that very cross, that they might have the grace of final perseverance and die faithfully in him. And that same treasury of grace is available for those who suffer the loss of loved ones. And I think in a special way for you and me, and for all who have suffered the loss of a child, our Blessed Mother is there to assist us and to give us guidance. The asking the question why doesn't lead us anywhere, because we don't know why. We don't know the mind of God. What we do know, however, is that this God does indeed want the best for each and every one of his children. And in some way, faith helps us to understand that the loss of their life at that moment is absolutely essential for their salvation. And I would say, with regard to you and me, that also the entrustment of this cross to us is important for our salvation, and to allow ourselves to enter into that reality and to milk from it, if you will, that beautiful milk of the Spirit, the grace of life that comes to us by way of suffering well, suffering in union with our Lord Jesus Christ, and asking our Blessed Mother that the very grace that God entrusted to her to make it through her travail with her son, asking her to obtain from her spouse, the Holy Spirit, that very same grace for us. It says in Ephesians in chapter 1, verse 3, that God gives us every spiritual blessing in the heavens So that grace that he gave to our Blessed Lady to endure her suffering, to embrace that suffering, to stand firm in that suffering, that grace is also available to you and available to me. And so we ask God to help us to appropriate that truth and to live in that truth and to let that truth remain and grow more and more efficacious in our own life. Your daughters died on the feast day of St. Florian. Interestingly, he is the patron saint, rather, of firefighters, and he's a protector from all kinds of the elements, that can afflict us. While it's not specific to those elements that afflict us through virus and through disease, I'm sure that he is interceding for your daughters because of his feast day. So you might ask him to also be an intercessor for you. It's interesting they die on the same day. I've heard of that happening more than one time, where, parents, somebody's mom and dad will die 1 year apart on the same day. I don't know how that is and why that is. It's an interesting situation. I don't believe in coincidence. God permits that. Your grieving must be doubly difficult on that day. I'm going to just tuck you into my rosary, Marilyn.
Thank you so much, Donna. I appreciate it very, very much. And just one other thing, the younger daughter, the one that was 52, that died 2 years ago, she told me a month before I stopped by her house, she just bought a brand new house and all nice things and everything. And she said, I said, what are you doing over there? She was on a tablet. And she stood up and she said, Mom, I'm ready. And I said, ready for what? And she said, I'm ready to meet Dad. I said, why are you talking like this? I said, you never talked like this. She goes, well, Mom, Dad was my best friend, she said. And Dad, I could tell Dad anything, she said. And Dad would never judge me. I said, Tara, what are you talking about? Dad loved all of you guys. And I said, why are you talking like that? I said, you have adult children and a husband. Why are you talking like that? And then she just turned away and looked down. And my daughter was full of life, Donna. She was very loved by everybody she became encountered with. She was just a wonderful, wonderful girl.
Yeah. Marilyn, it's not uncommon for individuals to have sort of like a little forewarning that their time is short, and perhaps she even knew what the diagnosis was at that time, but just didn't want to share that,
And then the other one said she was, my other daughter, Robin, she said she was waiting all the time that she was ill for her sister and her father to come get her. It's heartbreaking. It's just so mind-boggling. It's, I don't know. I'm just trying to get through a very difficult time, Donna.
I know. And we're going to pray together before I let you go, Marilyn. I do want to pray with you. And I just want to share that telling of their story, there is some comfort in knowing that she at least interiorly was prepared. And not everybody gets that opportunity. And so it is a special opportunity and grace. And I hope that, in your maternal heart, that does bring you some consolation. But now, with this beautiful cross of our Lord, right, that I have the great honor and privilege of having, let's just pray for both of your daughters. Robin is the name of one. What is the name of the other?
And Tara and Robin.
T-A-R-A?
Correct. And Robin,
okay.
R-O-B-Y.
Okay. Father God, we come before you in this moment, and I lift up to you your two daughters, Robin and Tara, that you entrusted to Marilyn for 50 years and a little bit more of their lives. Father, you took them home on May the 4th, ironically the same date, not too far apart from each other. Father, I know that your timing is always perfect, even though that timing very often does not comport with what we as parents would want for our children. And yet, Father, I know that your ultimate concern is the salvation for each and every soul that you have created in your image and in your likeness. And Father, I have great hope and great trust that you took both Robin and Tara home because you knew that for each one of them, this was the perfect timing. And now, Father, they celebrate a birthday together. They celebrate the birthday of their entrance into eternal life. Father, what a joyous celebration for them to experience this union for all eternity in the way in which you worked within them. We here left behind, when we lose a loved one, struggle. We struggle with the pain and we struggle with the grief. And we as mothers in a special way suffer for the suffering of our children. That connection, that bond that exists between mother and child never leaves, Lord. And so in a certain way, when our children are suffering, we're suffering too. And the most dramatic realization we have of this is our Blessed Lady taking into her own body mystically every suffering that her son experienced. Obviously, in his most crucial moment, as he made his tortured way up Calvary's Hill and then hung there for 3 hours, pouring out his life's blood for each one of us, how Our Lady mystically shed blood as well. But at each contradiction and every turn in her son's life, Our Lady suffered. And so it is, Mother, that I ask now that you would intercede for your daughter, Marilyn, and you would obtain from your spouse, the Holy Spirit, every grace that God gave to you to endure that moment, to embrace that moment, and to find there joy in that moment, because salvation was coming to the world. And salvation that day was won for Robin and for Tara. And we rejoice in their salvation in this moment. And we offer this prayer to you, Lord, in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll be right back. Stay with us, friends.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Jonette Williams. So happy to be with you today on this feast of the exaltation of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I like to begin the program by saying this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And it is the day that he has made, and it's the feast of the exaltation of the cross. And we know that our Lord God, you know, rejoiced on the day when salvation came to the world. And even as our Lord hung on that cross, he was rejoicing because the will of the Father was being accomplished and heaven's doors were being thrust open for us that each one of us might have the opportunity to enter into them for all eternity. And so on this day, it's a serious day, but it's also a joy-filled day. And we were praying with Marilyn for the death of her two daughters that died 2 years apart on the same day of the year, May the 4th. And what an interesting situation that is. And yet, you know, in all of our crosses, there is joy. There can be joy. Joy and sorrow can coexist in a heart. Does it mean that in some way the pain is lessened because of the joy? No, because that isn't what joy is. Joy is not, an inebriation of spirit, right? It's not an intoxication of happiness. No, joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit that is given to us by the Holy Spirit and is ripened within us by way of the Holy Spirit when we acknowledge the fact that God indeed never abandons us and that he does work all things to the good. So we strive as much as we can not to ask the question, why, but to rather change that into the question, what? What, Lord, are you revealing to me? What are you showing to me? What virtue are you trying to grow within me? What lesson are you teaching me? What do you want me to know about you in this moment? And honestly, I know from my own experience that God answers those questions. And those questions are not asked once and answered once. They're asked many, many times. Every time that wave of grief rolls over you, the same question asked and answered. And each time, it's an entrance more deeply into this great mystery of salvation, into this great mystery of God's loving action in us, even in the most painful of moments. Barbara is with us, first-time caller. Yippee, here we ring that bell for you in New Orleans, Louisiana today. Good morning to you. How are you doing, Barbara?
I am wonderful, Jeanette. How about you?
I'm just praising the Lord.
All the time.
All the time.
Jeanette, I don't know if you'll be able to answer this. I talked to your call screener, and he told me I might have to go out and search for it. But I listen to your program every day, and I'm very blessed to be able to have you on the radio where I am. But yesterday, Sue Brinkman was on, and she gave an example of a phrase that she uses when unbidden thoughts come into her mind, and she tries to get rid of them. And I didn't get a chance to write it down. And the last part was, give the thoughts captive to Jesus. I know that. But she gave me an example of a man who was married, but he kept continually having thoughts of adultery.
Yes.
So I didn't know if you could give me that phrase.
I can. I have it for you.
Oh, wonderful. You said you might not be able to, but I figured you could.
Yes. Well, you know, thanks be to God, my producer has it at the ready for me to give to you. So I'm very, very grateful for Jeff's fast action there. And I remembered a portion of it, but he's got it specifically. So here we go. It's Jesus, I take authority over this thought and make it captive to you. Jesus, I take authority over this thought and make it captive to you. And it's a beautiful prayer on a number of levels. And Sue was sharing with us that she read in a book that was written by a priest having to do with spiritual warfare. She read this in there. It was Father Jeffrey Stephan, Steffon. And the book was Spiritual Warfare for Catholics.
Okay.
And so this prayer is in that book, and this was one that he said was very helpful. So, you know, in the case that Sue gave us, that was a temptation. This man was being tempted to think about adultery, you know. But this is also very useful, as I suggested, when we have distraction in prayer, right? Or
exactly.
When the evil one, yeah, or when the evil one starts to rev up in us. Emotions and feelings from wounds in our heart that we suffered in the past, and he wants to drag us down by them, and he wants us to ruminate on them. It's very helpful to pray this prayer. Now, the prayer is not magic, and I think that this is something that we all have to understand about prayer.
Yeah,
prayer is not magic, right? So what we pray this prayer, but we cooperate with the grace by taking, acting through our will, an act of the will, placing something else in our mind or doing something to distract us, right, from that which is taking place.
So it's Jesus, I wrote it down, I take authority over this thought and make it captive to you.
Exactly.
Okay. Thank you so, so much, and I so appreciate your show, and I just hope. I go to Mass every day and adoration 3 to 5 times a week. I say the rosary, but I'm just striving to reach a level of holiness where, that even a quarter of what you have would be amazing to me.
Well, listen, here's the thing. We are all pilgrims on this journey. And what the Lord meets is desire of heart, Barbara. And you have desire of heart. And I have a feeling you're far, 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 far further along than you think you are.
So, thank you so much.
we all press forward together, shoulder to shoulder and soul to soul as we make our way through this life.
Exactly. God bless you, Jeanette, and your ministry, and your husband, who is amazing. You all are amazing. And to find a man like that in your second part of your life, I just wish that would have happened to me, but it is what it is.
Well, again, God, you know, he takes into account who it is that he's working with, and he knows the best way to get us the distance, right? And sometimes that comes by way of the, you know, providential blessings that happen that we don't expect, and he's always blessing all of us just in different ways, Barbara. So, well, God bless you, sweetheart, and keep listening, and I'm so grateful for Catholic Community Radio that provides the opportunity for you to hear Catholic Radio every day.
Thank you again.
You're welcome, sweetie. God bless. Bye-bye now. Isn't that beautiful? So y'all might want to write that prayer down because it's a good one. You know, we're always wondering, well, how is it that we, you know, make progress? Well, we make progress by praying and by cooperating with the grace that we get through prayer. So this is a very good one for all of the reasons that we just outlined in our conversation with Barbara. Jesus, I take authority over this thought and make it captive to you, given to us by Father Jeffrey Stefan in his book, Spiritual Warfare for Catholics, through our own Sue Brinkman. God bless. Well, thank you for that. Okay, we have Tim with us. He is a first-time caller as well. Oh, my goodness. This is a banner day with first-time callers. He is there in Lima, Ohio. Which way is it, Tim? I always pronounce it wrong.
It's Parma, Ohio.
Lima?
No, Parma.
Oh, you're in Parma, Ohio. Okay, I know where Parma, Ohio is. Yeah, that's not too far from Youngstown, right?
Well, it's in suburb of Cleveland.
Oh, okay, it's outside of Cleveland. Well, very good. Well, Tim, I'm glad you called today. And you're listening via The Rock. A shout out to all of those good people. So
that's correct.
Yeah, so tell us, so what's going on?
Well, two things. First, I retired last November, and mentally, I've been kind of all over the place and trying to figure out what's going on and everything. And second, my wife's got a leg condition that makes her legs swell. So I'm praying for healing for her. It's called lipedema, and you know, her leg swell. It's a hereditary condition, and we got leg pumps for her, and they seem to be working a little bit. So just pray for healing for her, too.
Sure. What is her name, Tim?
Georgiana.
Georgiana. Oh, isn't that sweet?
Yes,
that's
ma'am.
A lovely name. And so, Tim, when you say, like, your mind is all over the place, are you meaning that, you know, you just don't know what to do or where you're headed or what you're supposed to be doing?
That's it.
Okay.
Yeah, something like that.
All right. I understand. Well, this is a good day because, as I said, I have this relic of the True Cross here. So when we're praying today, we're going to be praying with this relic. So now, Lord, praise be to you, Father God, for the gift of our salvation. Praise be to you for the salvific action of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to you for his cross. And Jesus, we do thank you and praise you. We worship you and adore you. You are the Word made flesh. And through your most precious blood that is forever pouring down Calvary's Hill into the lives of each one of us, we find every spiritual blessing in the heavens that we need to continue on this pilgrim journey until we are joined to you and with you for all eternity. And so it is in this moment that we come before you, and I lift up Tim and Georgiana to you. Father, I know that you have a perfect will for each one of us, and that perfect will is about the business every day of our lives. And it doesn't matter at what state in life we might be. There is a will that you have in mind for us. You have a mission. You have a calling. You have a purpose. And here is Tim, your son, and he's retired from his active engagement in the workforce. And, you know, these are big steps for us, Lord. They really are. And they can be unsettling. Suddenly we find a routine that is very different, and we find time that we never had before. And we wonder what we're to do with all of it and how we establish a new routine and what should fill that routine. And so, Lord, trusting in your will for Tim and knowing that your Holy Spirit makes haste to help us in all things, especially to give us illumination of heart, and to help us these junctures in life that, you know, can be somewhat unsettling. We have absolute confidence in knowing that you will help your son, Tim, to find direction, to receive that guidance, to know what his next step is, what this next chapter is holding for him. I pray, Lord, that you give him the courage and the fortitude to step into whatever it will be, the perseverance to prayerfully come to you, seeking your will for him for the period of time that he wonders about it and doesn't have clear discernment. I pray that you would imbue him with all of the gifts and talents that will be his as he enters into this new moment, an exciting moment for him in his life. And now, Father, we turn to your daughter, Georgiana, and here she is, Lord, and you know all about this family history. You have been there from the beginning of this family's history, and you have watched all of the proclivities that have besetted this family history. And one of them has to do with this condition that your daughter suffers with. And you see the situation with her legs, and you see what it is that this swelling comes by, and you understand the complexity of her own body chemistry and biological structure and the molecular reality of her being, Lord. And we know that there is no disease, inherited or otherwise, that cannot be healed by you, cannot be intercepted by you, cannot be broken by you. And so, Lord, here we stand now, and I'm going to ask for the intercession of all of Georgiana's relatives that are holy souls now, whether beholding the beatific vision at this moment or still undergoing purgation and sanctification and purgatory. I'm going to ask all of you holy souls in Georgiana's family, in a special way, those who have suffered from this same condition, to make intercession for Georgiana and for all of the family members going forward from this point. I'm going to ask that you make intercession and you join in this prayer that Father God would see fit, if it suits his ultimate will for this family line, that this very disease now would release its hold on this family, beginning in time, in this moment, with Georgiana. Father God, this is the feast of the exaltation of the cross of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that this spiritual blessing exists within the divine economy. And I am asking now, Father God, that even as we venerate this relic of the true cross, that this grace would be acquired and effected in the life of this family right now through your daughter, Georgiana. Blessed Mother, we ask that you too, in the only way that you can intercede as the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ, would stand with us in this prayer before the heavenly throne, with all of the ancestral line of Georgiana, especially those who have suffered from the same ailment, and with Georgiana and her husband Tim and me, and all of our listeners praying with us right at this very moment. And can't you just see it, friends? Can't you see all of us gathered there in front of the throne of God? We're asking for this special grace today, Father, in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And as it is that we always pray, through the merits of his holy cross, which we venerate today, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of Our Lady. Amen and hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Tim, God's going to be opening doors for you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Have the grace to walk through them, and I'm hoping that Georgiana receives this complete healing. I have absolute confidence in God, and if it is for her eternal salvation and the eternal salvation of the rest of the family line moving forward, then it will be effected in him. God bless you now. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
You are so welcome. My pleasure and blessing. Before we get to Mehdi there in Tampa, Florida, I just want to take a comment from Susan out there on YouTube. She left it for us, and she says, "Hello, Johnette. Experienced a very profound moment yesterday evening involving the cross. Our Lord revealed to me that my last moment with my Father was at the foot of the cross. I wept. It was 5 years ago that he passed." Well, I'll tell you, Susan, that is a very, very profound prayer experience and a very beautiful prayer experience. How absolutely wonderful for you. And our Lord, you see, he does these things. He wants us to know. And so as we say, continue to mine that treasury of grace that is ours through the mystery of our Catholic faith given to us in light of all of the mysteries of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Susan, so much for sharing that. What a very special grace to receive in that vigil moment before the Feast of the Exaltation of the Cross. Thank you. And let's get to Mehdi now in Tampa, Florida, listening to us via Sirius XM Station 130. Hello, Mehdi.
Hi, Jeanette.
Hi.
I'm calling because it's a long story, but I'm going to make it short. My niece was my sister's daughter, which is my niece.
Yes.
Diagnosed with Moyamoya, and I'm not sure if people are familiar with Moyamoya. It's a brain, something to do with the brain that the blood will not go through or the air or something. So
okay.
3 months ago, she had surgery on her right side, which is the worst part of the Moyamoya. She did so well. In 2 hours, she was talking and everything. She was fine. And they scheduled her another surgery, which came Thursday last week. They opened her up on the left-hand side, this time left brain. And last night, they had to do an emergency cutting again because there was I don't know if it's a blockage or what happened. So I do need a prayer for her that
okay.
I was told that Moyamoya will continuously, you know, the stroke is what she was having. But let me tell you a little bit of the experience that I've been through with her.
Let me just interrupt you, Mehdi, because we're short on time. And
okay.
So I would rather pray and then you could share the rest of it. This way we're
okay.
sure we get the prayer in, okay? Now, what is your niece's name?
Sorry.
What is
her name? Is Angel.
Angel. Oh, how beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay. And I see that Bernie is with us in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Very serious surgery tomorrow for a loved one, his grandson, Nathan. So I'm going to lift Angel up and I'm going to lift Nathan up as well. Father God, we just come before you again on this feast of the exaltation of the cross of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And even as we venerate this holy relic, Father, we bring children before this relic. We bring before you Mehdi's niece, Angel, and we bring before you Bernie's grandson, Nathan. Father God, you know the conditions that are racking the bodies of these children. Father God, you do not create disease. Disease comes by way of the residual effect of original sin. And in some way, it affects every one of us, and it's part of the human condition. But Father, we know that in your divine and holy providence, you want to arrest disease. Father God, the surgeons do all they can through their skill that you have entrusted to them to be of benefit to your people. And Father God, your doctors and your nurses use their medical acumen to be able to resolve these issues. But Father, we're asking for a supernatural infilling of their natural gifts and talents. We're asking that you would increase them, but not increase them by man's ability, but increase them by the very power of the Holy Spirit. That the surgeries that have been done and any other procedures that need to take place for both of these children, Angel and Nathan, that these procedures would be done through the power of the Holy Spirit, guided through the surgeon's hands. Whether the surgeons know it or not does not matter. Just the fact that the Holy Spirit is operative is what we ask. Father, I pray for the parents of these children. I pray for the relatives of these children, represented here by Mehdi and by Bernie, who are concerned because they love these children. Father, I ask that this brain situation would be resolved immediately through the power of the cross of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm praying for Nathan that there would be a healing such that he wouldn't even need to have the surgery tomorrow. But if, Father God, the suffering of these children is part of your economy of grace and salvation, then we pray that the results and conditions would return them to the fullness of health. And we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, a relic of which I hold right now through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of Our Lady. Amen. We'll be back with you again tomorrow, friends. God bless you now. Bye-bye.